remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. Amen. Appreciate that joy unspeakable, full of glory. I remember Brother Rudy Smith preaching a few years ago at Faith Baptist Camp. We were airing the services live, and I remember where, I don't know exactly where we're at, we're on the road, and we were listening through Joshua's phone. Joshua was still here then, and we was listening through his phone to the broadcast, and Brother Rudy Smith was preaching, and he got to talking about a woman shouting. And he said he was in that service, and he said that woman jumped up and just went, "Wow!" and went running through the aisles. He said she was trying to express joy that is unspeakable. No words. Right. No words, just full of emotion. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I think that's right. As a matter of fact, I think that's appropriate and in order. Amen. Amen. All right, well, somebody can squeal like that if you see a spider. I pray spiders crawl all over. No, I'm kidding. Amen. All right. Romans chapter number 11, and we're looking at the section verse 11 through 36, and so we'll start reading with verse 11. I'm not going to read all 36 verses. We've already covered a few of these, and we'll pick up verse 17 is where we'll pick up our study. But look at verse number 11. We'll start there and read verse 11. We'll read down through verse number 25 and try to cover these verses here this morning. Romans chapter 11, verse 11, we'll read responsibly, so you'll come in on every other verse as well. He says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" He's talking about the nation of Israel. "God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." And that's where we ended a couple of weeks ago in our study. Let's pick up verse number 17. "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree." Verse 25, the last verse tonight or today. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And by the way, I'd like to read those first few words of verse 26. Look at it. And I'm not going to deal with this today, but it applies. "And so all Israel shall be saved." So he's talking about Israel's been cut off, not as a nation, as individuals. And God's not looking to Israel in a national sphere again, as he did, but he will again one day. Amen. He's grafted us in, Gentiles in their place. And we might say in this aspect. But he's going to turn back to Israel, and Israel will be saved. Amen. And amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading of his word. Brother Lee Watts, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we come before you today. I ask you to anoint me with the book.
Yes, Lord, please do.
I ask you to anoint your man with fresh oil, hide him behind the cross, with the Holy Spirit, and alone
have free reign. Yes, Lord, yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And thank you for that prayer. Amen. Well, as I said, we're looking at Romans chapter number 11. I've titled this whole chapter, this phrase, God hath not cast away his people Israel. We've looked at this in three parts already, part one, two, and three. Today will be part four. God hath not cast away his people Israel. I said there's 2 points. The chapter, I believe, is broken down into 2 points. The first 10 verses being the first point. Point number one, God has not rejected Israel fully. Some Jews can still be saved. God's not written off all the Jews. Replacement theology is false theology. Right. It's Catholic theology carried over into the Protestant religion and even some quote-unquote new independent fundamental Baptists have replacement theology, but it's false theology. But God has not fully rejected Israel. Matter of fact, the first 2 verses say that again and again real strongly. And through verse 10, that's dealt with. Then verses 11 through 36, the rest of the chapter, I've got this, and point number two, God hath promised to redeem Israel finally. Amen. God hath promised to redeem Israel finally. We looked at those first 6 verses talking there in these verses about how that the nation has stumbled, not fallen. He does use the word fallen in one place, but he talks about the fact that they're not completely fallen away. The fact is it's more like a stumble. If you trip, you fall, whether even if it's just a stumble, but it's not as complete a fall unless you fall completely to the ground. So you say, I'm falling. That's just maybe just a stumble, but you're falling. And that's how Israel is at the present time. Now, not all of Israel has been cast off, of course. Those who believe the gospel can still be saved. Amen. Amen. That's why we still need to preach to the Jews as well as to the Gentiles. Right. And Paul began speaking primarily to the Gentiles. He magnifies his office, being the apostle to the Gentiles. He mentions that he might provoke Israel to jealousy. And I pointed out that I think there's a good point there, that are we living godly enough to provoke anybody to want to live like we're living? To want to experience what we're experiencing? To want to have what we have? Are we living in such a way to cause anybody, Jews in particular, but anybody, to want what we've got? Amen. And now today I'm going to pick up with verse number 17, and verse 17 and 18 go together. We'll look at these verses, verse by verse, as we go down through this section. He says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Paul in this writing is led of the Holy Spirit to use the analogy of an olive tree. There's some call this the mystical olive tree. When you read commentaries, especially those in the previous centuries, they talk about this being the mystical olive tree. And so Paul's not talking about a literal olive tree. He's using the analogy of it. This analogy of the olive tree, I believe, is talking about the family, the covenant family of God that he's dealing with. Now, this was well known to those Middle Eastern people. They knew very much about what the value of olives and the value of an olive tree. He mentions about a tame olive tree or natural and then the wild olive tree. And one of the things that they knew was that the tame olive tree is well known for its fruitfulness and its usefulness. But the wild olive tree was worthless, producing no good fruit. Not even being good for wood. It was worthless. Useful for nothing but burning. That's where we were as Gentiles. We produced fruit, but no good fruit. Right. We were worth nothing but burning. Amen. But God grafted us in. He talks about that, grafting in these branches. Now let me say this. The Jews and the Gentiles are not represented as the two trees. He's not talking about the Jew tree, natural olive, and the Gentile tree, the wild olive. He's talking about them, the branches thereof. The branches represent the Jews and the Gentiles. And he's, you see them being grafted in into this tree. And so the idea here again, he mentions though that some, in verse number 17, if some of the branches be broken off, again, only some of the nation of Israel has been cast off. Amen. Doesn't mean they've all been rejected, but only some of the nation. Then he says, if thou being the wild olive tree are grafted in, that's again, not speaking of all the Gentiles, but all those who believe are grafted in. Again, some misunderstandings that some people have. They think God's rejected all the Jews, and then some people go so far say he has accepted all the Gentiles. But I'm afraid to say he's only accepting those that come through Christ. No man can come unto the Father except by me, Jesus said. Right. So you, if you're a Jew or a Gentile, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your heritage, doesn't matter your religion. What matters is if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I noticed that this stock of the tree that he's talking about here must be the family of God. Well, I'll say the covenant people of God. And they are represented by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Roots run deep. And the Jews look to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers. We look to them as our fathers of the faith. Amen. And we see that in the scriptures here as well. We are grafted in. We're not the natural born children of Abraham, but by faith we're the children of Abraham. We believe the same God Abraham believed. We believe the same covenant that Abraham believed. Amen. And so we're recognizing that. Now he's talking about this, these branches that do not, they do not contribute to the stock. We're not in this thing of salvation to give something good to God. The branch doesn't contribute to the tree. It draws from the tree. It gets its nourishment from the roots of the tree. Amen. We're not in here to do God a favor. God did us a favor, letting us in by his goodness and his grace. Amen. And by the way, he says in verse number 18, talks about boast not. We got to be careful. People that get saved, if they're not careful, they forget where they came from. And they look back on other people that are doing what they used to do. And we say, boy, look at them. That's bad. There's no hope for them. Well, we got to remember, there was a time we was in that wild olive tree. There was a time we was producing the same ungodly fruit. But by the grace of God, we've been changed. Amen. And if God can do that for us, he can do that for them. And he's telling us that. But he's saying here, not only don't boast, but the idea about boast, don't boast against the Jews. Don't say, well, I'm better than they are. Gentiles are better than Jews. And on we can go. And we can get real racial in that issue. And we're wrong when we do. Verse number 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. So he's saying, you don't have any right. You don't have any authority to infer that God moved them out of the way so you could get in. He's saying that God moved them out because they're unbelief, and the only reason you get in is because of belief. You only get in because of faith. It's not any goodness within ourselves. Amen. Nothing that we have done. We're no better than the Jews. That's what he said. All right, verses 20 and 21. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. These unbelieving Jews were broken off because of their unbelief. Amen. That, by the way, we are admitted because of faith. Faith is the issue. Amen. Faith, what you believe, determines where you're going when this life's over. Amen. And we're warned not to let this become an issue of pride. The unbelieving Jews were rejected because they rejected Jesus as their Savior. They were born in a good family. They had a good book. They had a good lineage and a good heritage and good training and good education, but they accepted the Lord of glory, or they rejected the Lord of glory. We weren't born in a good family. We didn't have good books. We didn't have good heritage and we didn't have good education. By the grace of God, we heard about Jesus and we believed it. That's what he's talking about there. Amen. And so it's just again and again, he's just reapplying these same things to helping us. These unbelieving Jews were rejected because they rejected Jesus as their Savior. And by the way, the only condition that will allow you to be in a covenant relationship with God is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every covenant's got to be a blood covenant. Amen. And without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Amen. So what this is teaching is that the Jews are not accepted because they're Jews. Neither are the Gentiles accepted just because they're Gentiles. Our acceptance is only a basis of faith. Amen. Now, he mentions we ought to be motivated by fear and faith. Those are two polar opposites, by the way. We ought to be motivated by fear and faith. Look at what he said, verse 20. Jump in the middle. Thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. So we're to be motivated by fear and by faith. Fear, lest we fall short of believing God. Amen. Faith, because that's what gives us standing with God. Now, I want to be careful here because you could get in some treacherous weeds, to be honest with you. You get off in some of this. We don't have to live our life afraid that we're going to lose our salvation. That's not what he's talking about. But he wants us to make sure that we do live our life concerned whether or not we've really got it. We do want to live our life examining. We do want to live our life evaluating and judging ourselves whether or not we be in the faith. Amen. That's the fear that he's talking about, lest we fall short. See, those Jews were so sure that they were just, they're in. They didn't have to be grafted in. They were naturally in. And boy, you could chase a lot of rabbits there. In order to be grafted in, that tree's got to be wounded. Amen. In order to be grafted in, you got to be brought to that tree by someone else. Amen. Thank God that we have been grafted into that tree of faith, amen, and that tree of the covenant relationship with God. Look at verse number 22. He says, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. Two more polar opposites. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. I said the previous verse said use two polar opposites, faith and fear. This one uses two polar opposites, severity and goodness. You might say grace, kindness. That's another word. This particular word is translated in the King James Bible as kindness. Paul talks about when the kindness of God appeared unto us. Amen. Thank God for his goodness that leadeth us to repentance. Amen. These two polar opposites, goodness and severity. God's goodness ought to produce gratitude. But God's severity ought to produce fear. We ought to be thankful to our God, and we ought to also reverence our God. That's what he's dealing with there. I really believe that America, I think I can say as a nation, Americans have a problem with gratitude. And maybe it's because we pump our minds full 24 hours a day with news that's bad news. And we hear all the bad things and we're living in it. I told my wife, and as a matter of fact, I made mention to it in the prayer meeting yesterday, the men's prayer meeting, 7 o'clock yesterday morning. By the way, this Saturday will be the ladies. It'll be at 9 o'clock. If you can come out for that, they'll be meeting and you'll be welcome. But I mentioned to them and some things that are going on. I said, we can understand today what Peter said about Lot, that Lot vexed his righteous soul daily in seeing and hearing the things that are going on in Sodom. And we stopped at a store out here in Litchfield the other day, going to the funeral in Virginia last week, and we stopped at just used the bathroom, come back out, and Melissa saw two girls kissing each other out in the parking lot there. Two girls. Her and Miss Kim was up in Evansville some time ago, saw a man come walking in a skirt. Think nothing of it. That vexes your soul. That angers you. When you hear about children being mistreated and molested, That angers you and it vexes you so. And you find out, listen, that it's happening all around us and it seems like it's on the increase. But I'm going to tell you, we got to remember that, that even when the unjust are living like they're living, there's a good God that's reigning on the just and the unjust. There's a good God that is doing His business and saving sinners and, amen, and rescuing people from that. And we ought to be grateful that He is still in charge. As bad as it is, Satan is not on the throne. God is on the throne. Amen. I want to be grateful. I'm glad that the trumpet's going to sound. Amen. I don't want to be here when the Antichrist is here. I don't want to be here when the wrath of God's poured out. The vials of the wrath of God's poured out on this. I don't want to be here. I'm glad I won't be here. Amen. We can be grateful for that. And by the way, grateful because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be released from all that. We deserve the wrath. We deserve the judgment. So he talks about the goodness of God. Our trust, our faith is in the goodness of God. We can say we serve a good God. Yeah, we can say that. We can believe that. We serve a good God. I know what they say. Well, if God's good, how come children get cancer? How come bad things happen to good people and all that? But I'm telling you, there's a good God that's still in His mercy letting things go. Amen. Amen. One of these days He's going to call a halt to it. Amen. So He talks about being grafted. How did we get grafted in? We got grafted in because of the goodness of God. Amen. So we got in by believing. Now I'll say this real quickly. We got in by believing, not just by professing to believe. Now I know we got a whole mentality. People say, well, if they say they're saved, that means they're saved. No, it don't. Amen. And by the way, if I say you're not saved, that don't make you not saved. If a preacher gets up and says, you're not saved, that don't make you not saved. What makes you not saved is not being saved by the grace of God. It's a personal relationship between you and God. Personal relationship. But there's a lot of people got a business relationship, that they've got a profession relationship, but they don't have a real relationship with God. So we're grafted in not by professing to believe, but by actually believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Now, I want to notice, he talks about here in this verse, the latter part of verse 22, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. We ought to look at that phrase about being cut off. Looks like that phrase, if you just take it on face value without digging into it and comparing Scripture with Scripture, looks like maybe that is contradicting Romans 8 that says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Here it looks like he's saying there, if you don't continue, you're going to be separated from the love of God. Here's what we got to focus on. I go back to how did we actually get in grace? How did we actually get grafted in? We got grafted in by believing. Actually believing, not just professing to believe. So how do we continue in His grace? We continue by actually believing, not just professing that we believe. Actually believing. If you don't actually believe, you won't continue. You can talk about perseverance of the saints or preservation of the saved. However you want to term that, there is a doctrine in the Bible that teaches that those are that are truly saved, that truly believe, will continue. He said they went out from us to prove that they were not of us. He goes on to say if they had been of us, they would have no doubt, without doubt, continued. That's what he said. So if you don't continue, it's obvious you didn't really believe to start with. And that goes to the book of Galatians. He talks about that, matter of fact. He talks about them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, that they have fallen from grace. I don't mean they lost their salvation. It means that they made a profession, but they didn't live up to that profession. They said they believed, but in actuality, they tried to mingle works with salvation, with grace. They didn't really believe in the grace of God. They weren't staking all, as I say, putting all your eggs in one basket. Casting that on the Lord. All of it. All your hopes in the Lord. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You got to stand on that alone. Amen. So how would somebody fall away? How would somebody be cast away? How would somebody be cut off? Well, by not actually believing. By not actually trusting what they professed to believe and trust. Amen. So he goes here then talking about the Jews. The Jews were cut off. How were they cut off? They didn't actually believe what they said to believe. They said to believe what Abraham. We have Abraham for our father. We've never been in bondage to any man. That's what they said to the Lord while they were in bondage to Rome, by the way. Sinners say that all the time, by the way. Well, I'm as good as so-and-so. I think I'll go to heaven. While they're in bondage to the devil. While they're in bondage to the bottle, bondage to the drugs, and bondage to sin, whatever the sin is. They're in bondage, and yet they're claiming their liberty and their freedoms. But they're in bondage because they haven't believed what they profess to believe. Amen. Look at the next verse. It goes on to deal with this in verse number 23. And they also, if they abide not in unbelief, or abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Amen. Their unbelief is what keeps them from being in a covenant relationship with God. Their unbelief. Amen. If they'd only believe, that's what he says right here. If they would only believe, they would be grafted in again. Not just physically born children of Abraham, but actually faith born children of Abraham. Amen. Again, I want to clarify, I'm not talking about people that have been saved and lost it, quote unquote lost it. I'm talking about people that have associated themselves with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the flesh, but they can not be associated with them in the spirit unless they believe. That's what he's talking about. And Jesus said that to those Pharisees. If you were actually Abraham's children, he said you'd do what Abraham did. You'd believe, and I'm paraphrasing, you'd believe what Abraham believed. Abraham believed in Jesus. He looked to see his day and saw it. Amen. And was glad. That's right. Amen. So we see then, God hath not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. They can still be saved if they'll only believe. Look at verse 24. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? He's showing us that actually it's more probable that God would bring those natural branches back in than it was that he'd go to the Gentiles to start with. For salvation is of the Jews. Our Lord even said that. Our Lord even said that. Matter of fact, our Lord in his earthly ministry never stepped foot out of the land of Judah. He didn't go to the Gentiles. Some Gentiles came to him. He went through Samaria. Those are mixed breeds, you might say, Gentile, Jewish, mingled people. And Jesus was willing to save whosoever will, but he confined his earthly ministry to the Jews until they rejected him. And when he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was not just tasting death for the Jews. He was tasting death for every man. Amen. For every man. That whosoever will come, can come. Amen. Amen. And so he's saying here, if God could bring in a wild olive branch, then surely he would bring back in that natural branch. So he's saying Israel's not been totally rejected. Israel's not been totally forgotten. God's still going to bring Israel back around one of these days. Amen. He might certainly do that and will certainly do that. Verse number 25, and we're winding down. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Sad that in church history, if you read church history, there have been groups down through the years, and I mentioned Catholics and Protestants that have fought against Israel, hated Israel, what was they called it? Those crusades went in to kill the Israelites, to kill the Jews and to capture those holy sites because they felt like the Jews had been cut off forever. And they did that in the name of Christianity. By the way, one of the reasons why some Jewish people are not interested in hearing the Christian message is because they equate all Christians with Catholicism. Or all, by the way, they'll tell you, they will say, Hitler was a Christian. And he was praised by the Pope. who did say he was doing the work of God in destroying the Bolshevik Jewish people. That's what the Catholic Pope said. But he is wrong. That's not what the gospel says. That's not what the Bible says. So Paul's warning us Jews not to be ignorant of this mystery. Or us Gentiles, the believing Gentiles, not to be ignorant of this mystery. Thinking in our own conceits, because we're so naturally prone to think, well, it must have been something good in me. You've heard me say this before. I remember being in a meeting somewhere one time and this lady stood up and this is what she said in her testimony. She said, I don't know what God saw in me, but he saw something good in me that he thought was worth saving. And I thought to myself, lady, you've missed it by 100 miles. God did see us. He didn't see anything good in us. He knew us and he knew there was nothing good in us. There was nothing worth saving. He didn't save us because we were worth it. He saved us because his son is worth it. Amen. We're saved. Amen. We're saved in Jesus' name. We're saved in his place. He died that we might live. Amen. So Paul warns about these conceits, the thinking that Israel has fallen out of favor with God, never to be restored. He tells us that blindness is only in part. That doesn't, by the way, mean that they're only partially blind. It means that only part of the nation is blinded. And it also means that it's only temporary. It's only temporary blindness. Two important points here. Let me give you these and I'll wind her down. Number one, Israel's blindness is only in part. Not all Jews will continue as unbelievers. Some get saved and some have. Some will. Number two, the fullness of the Gentiles be come in is a phrase used there in verse number 25. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That doesn't mean that God's got a certain number and when he gets that number, oh, it'll all be in now. No, that means he's working on a harvest. And he's harvesting primarily Gentiles in this dispensation that we live in. In this time frame, God's reaching to whosoever will, and the Jews primarily won't. Many Gentiles will. And those that will can be harvested in. That's what he's saying. But when that is completed, when the Gentiles are come in their fullness, then he's going to lift the blindness from the Jews and will save the nation of Israel as a whole. Amen. And that latter point will be dealt with in the next message, verses 26, as we just read that verse. Now, the meaning of this phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles, cannot mean that all Gentiles will be saved. But it simply means that all who will be saved. Whosoever will may come. Amen. Just like some Jews believe on Christ in this dispensation and get saved. Some Gentiles might believe on Christ, even in that day when he's dealing with Israel primarily. Some Gentiles might believe and be saved in the day of Israel's end gathering. Amen. Now, conclusion. Think about this. I want to go ahead and get a song ready and come get ready to play. But let me think about concluding this wonderful grace of God. The goodness of God that he talked about. And the severity of God. One of the ways you recognize how good something is when you realize how bad the opposite is. Listen, we live in a time of peace and prosperity, at least on some degree. But if we lived in the Depression, we'd recognize how good prosperity is. If we lived in wartime, I mean real rationing and dying and bombing and heading to bunkers. And if we lived in that, we'd realize how wonderful peace really is. If you can look back to how you were in your life before you were grafted in, if you'll remember how bad it was to be without hope and without God in this world, you'll remember and recognize how wonderful it is to be saved by the grace of God. How wonderful to say God has not only saved my soul, but he saved my life. God has rescued my family. God has rescued my life. And God has given me grace in this world and grace in the world to come. And you can recognize the goodness of God. But going back to the song he sang, if you've not tasted of that, you can this morning.